When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Sarah.
This is Jenna. We're from Name Three Songs, and today we're getting candid with Hannah Wickland, who's a Nashville-based rock artist who's been playing music since she was a child. And notably, she dropped out of school at 16 to go on tour. She's since opened for Greta Van Fleet and played festivals across the US, done some touring in the UK, and her sophomore album, The Prize, was released earlier this year.
So today we're getting candid with Hannah Wickland, and we're talking to her about the hardships of being like a young female artist in a heavily male rock scene, as well as how she has been able to connect with a deeper feminine and emotional side of herself through taking time off from the road because of COVID and everything that happened in the last like 4 years in the world, and just like rediscovering her love of art and how she can connect that to her music as well. And also how all of this has impacted the way she shows up as a performer and how she connects with her fans because of the music that she's made. So with all of that, let's go get candid with Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
We're excited to be talking to you today. You have a lot going on in your life right now. You have just concluded a bunch of dates in the US. You have a few more. You're going to Canada. You're going to England. But all of this is in support of your album, The Prize, which you released earlier this year. What's it been like for you being able to bring this album to life on stage?
I'd say it's been an extremely full circle experience, finally being able to perform this record live. And ultimately, I feel like a little girl on stage at the same time as feeling like the most like empowered, like woman version of myself. Mm. And I've just found this really beautiful balance in my life with my relationship with like womanhood and femininity and kind of finding my footing inside of the rock and roll sphere.
Yeah.
After kind of realizing just how dampened I think I felt by a lot of my experiences growing up playing music. So yeah, I'd say that it's been like a totally different experience than any other touring that I've done in my life. It's been really eye-opening, and it's by far the most connected I've ever felt to the people receiving my music. You know,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's been really great.
This is really interesting what you're saying about like you feel like you are being more in your femininity than like you ever have before. What was that journey for you kind of getting to this point?
A very rocky road. But I think ultimately, especially when I started touring really heavily, which I graduated high school when I was 16 and pretty much hit the road from that point on. And,
Yeah. You
know, I've done most of my career like quite on my own as far as, you know, I've self-managed. I'm currently self-managing. You know, I've only just now gotten the luxury of a tour manager. So for a long time, for many, many years, you know, I was representing myself from the beginning of the day to the end of the night and playing a show. And I think the kind of verbiage I've put to it is that I just found myself leaning into my masculine more and more as I started touring. I think a lot of times just to feel respected inside of a music venue. Yeah. And I just found that if you kind of toughen up and you like kind of act like one of the guys, and you know, you're careful not to be too cutesy so that it's not taken that you're flirting, you know, just like
right.
All of these little delicate maneuvers that you start doing as a woman to kind of fit into a space better. And you know, COVID was ultimately the first time I ever had like a break from touring or from performing. And inside of that space, I was able to just, you know, for the first time, not be on stage and really get to know myself. And my artwork became really important to me again. And my artwork is very feminine. I just draw lots of like animals and butterflies and flowers and mandalas. And I really love beautiful things. Mm. And then my whole persona with rock and roll was always kind of, you know, doing band photos. You don't usually choose the one of you smiling, you know, it's a little bit more of the brooding rock and roll thing. And yeah, so I think this record just kind of exposed my deepest, truest feelings of being like a little girl that, you know, loved dancing and the color pink, and, you know, I loved princesses and a good fairy tale, mm-hmm. just like the rest of us, you know. So it was an interesting path finding the balance between the guitar girl and the lady.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, you hit on a lot of things that I think are very interesting. And I feel like a lot of women in music feel pressured to go through of this thing where it's like you have to kind of distance yourself from maybe who you really are because of like that judgment that there is for women when you are in these spaces that are very male dominated, which can be also like scary, especially since you're saying like you had to be your own tour manager and manage yourself and like handle all of these things on your own, where you're like, okay, I have to be my boss and my babysitter and the performer. Wow. Like all at once.
Yeah, I like that. I like that phrasing, the boss, the babysitter, and the performer. Yeah, it was, and you don't realize, I did it for so long, and you really don't realize how much you're truly taking on until you start facing certain things. And then you start realizing that, man, without needing to be my own tour manager and like, you know, make sure that I'm getting paid my full paycheck at the end of the night, you know, it's amazing how many times tickets just kind of appear after you get, you know, assertive. And it doesn't feel good to be doing and wearing all of the hats, although it's super necessary. And like, I'm very proud of my path, but you know, there are certain jobs that you can't be super soft in, you know, you have to look out for yourself and you have to be willing to stand up for yourself and defend yourself. And, you know, that can kind of, as a woman, it doesn't feel good, you know, like even if you're right. Like I recently on this tour had an experience with a sound guy that was pretty much just straight up abusive. And although I was completely warranted in my defense of my band and myself, and there was no question about the validity of my response, at the end of the day, it still doesn't feel good to have that conflict and to be stepping into that space. And ultimately it was an extremely misogynistic experience. And, you know, so it's like, it's hard to shed those layers too, as you start bringing people into the role, because you've been shaped by all of these experiences. And so the idea of being a woman in rock and roll is very much like you're put through a lot of things that test your strength and that really shape who you are. And to kind of come back and find the softness in yourself again is really scary, because it's like becoming vulnerable again in this like super unique way. Yeah. And it's a very confusing process. And I don't think that there were too many examples of the softer side of rock and roll that was still, the music was still super powerful. Like that definitely feels really good to find.
Yeah. And I mean, like, as you said already, like, you've been touring since you were 16. You've been making music since you were like 8 or younger than that, which is so impressive and crazy. But I mean, like, going through that journey of seeing what rock and roll looks like, and even like the women that you have to look up to in rock and roll, they're very just like strong and powerful. And there isn't that softness. And so in speaking of this and like mentioning how you like finally got this break during COVID, where you got to just kind of like sit and think about this stuff, for this album, you incorporated physical art as well. Like you're making these like large scale oil paintings. Was that a big part of the release of things, where you're kind of like, okay, I'm like allowing myself to lean more into like this artistic, like softer side rather than like this rock heavy side? And so then is that where the art came from, or like what made you decide that that was something that you wanted to incorporate into the creation of like a bigger body of art?
Well, I think that's a little bit part of it. I mean, ultimately getting back in touch with my art completely helped me find, you know, the beginning of me finding my balance as a human being. Okay. Because I think your art, when you're sharing it on a stage with people, of course, it's like, it feels amazing to be up there. Like a totally unique experience, but that's very outward. Like your creativity is very much going this way, and you're connecting with everybody in the room. And that's my favorite part. But then the balance of that, I didn't do my art for like 4 or 5 years. And that was when I was the most depressed by far. And so what I realized is that my artwork is me giving all of that energy that normally on stage I'd be giving outward. And it's me just like replenishing my own soul. And it's just me pouring back into myself. And, you know, my dad loved rock and roll. And my dad was the music guy and was a musician. And we did all of these shows together. But my mom was, well, she still is, an artist, an amazing mm-hmm. oil painter, and just like, just exceptionally creative, like no lack mm-hmm. of ideas ever. Would bounce off any idea I had with me forever. And I think that that is very much part of my makeup, is that I need to be doing both and honoring both sides of myself. And I had already, you know, kind of reignited my artistic side, my visual art side. But mm-hmm. when this record, when we first went into the studio, when it truly started taking shape, I was on a different trajectory and I was on a different path in my career. You know, I've had a handful of very successful, prominent, you know, managers who a lot of times yeah. as an artist, you feel you need to have this person right. open the door, and like, you're not going to be taken seriously. And so like, and I was really lucky that anybody that I like really wanted to work with, like I was so excited to be able to start working mm-hmm. on this. And ultimately it was, you know, during the making of this record that I was extremely, extremely let down by the person that was supposed to be taking care of my career. And ultimately it was my relationship. And I had never seen that coming from a mile away, but because of the relationship that I found myself in, I was, yeah, my project just completely went, it was going on one path, and then the hands just kind of came off the reins, and it was a very like traumatic slowing down of my career. Mm-hmm. And so basically like I had this period of time where I wasn't really able to tour because this record, The Prize, was originally slated to come out when I was opening up for Marcus King 2 years ago in the spring mm-hmm. of like, what was that? 2022. And my last record had come out, you know, in 2018. So like everyone was kind of, you know, needing that next record, yeah, and, you know, have the momentum that you need to like play some kick-ass headlining shows and to be playing the great festivals. So I found myself in a position where I was not only was like, I very unclear of how this record was going to come out into the world and had to like really fight just to get that path figured out.
Yeah.
But I also was pretty much kept from touring for like a year because of the lack of the record coming out, and, you know, this business, everything kind of has to work together. And so, yeah, I found myself for the first time ever, like pretty much not being able to play live shows and to kind of get my own momentum going because this record had to come out. And so mm-hmm. I kind of took that, I wouldn't call it disinterest in the record, but all of the kind of weird trapped energy around this record. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, if people don't understand it, or like this path to getting it released is like so strife with weird hurdles, then I'm going to go yeah. in deeper and prove to not only myself, but prove to, you know, the world and this business, yeah. like why these songs are worth seeing the light of day. Basically, it was kind of like a testament to how much these songs meant to me, was that when my hands mm-hmm. were tied behind my back, I was like, without a path forward, I just thought, you know, I think I just wanted to go in deeper and be like, okay, you guys yeah. don't get it, and that's fine, but I'm going to make this whole world, I'm going to make it beautiful. And all of my ideas and visions that I've been told there's like not time for, or I've had a lot of men just kind of hear my super creative, crazy ideas and like wanting to take a pattern and turn it into fabric that then I, you know, have dusters made from that we wear on stage and that I sell at the merch table. I was literally told like, it's not time for that. And that's literally what I've done on this record. So I pretty much just took all of my no's and just put them into my art.
Yeah.
I love this record, and it's such a mm-hmm. representation of me, and it just felt necessary to prove its worth.
I mean, what a beautifully complicated, twisted story. I'm just like, I feel for you having been through all that. Like, thank you for sharing this with us. And I can understand for artists how frustrating it is when it's like, art is what I do. It's like, why are you not listening to me? Why are you not, like, when it feels like there's other people preventing you from doing things. But I think, you know, taking something almost that's like out of your control and turning it into what can I do, and continuing to do art in a different way, in a visual way,
and yeah. saying, all these people told me no, I'm going to do what I believe I need to do. And doing it for yourself, yeah. that's, I mean, in a twisted way, it came to a beautiful outcome.
Oh my gosh. It was so painful. And the irony is that, like, you know, in my life, I sacrificed everything in my personal life. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything growing up for my music and for my yeah. career, for my passion. And so it kind of, in some fucked up, weird, or in some messed up, weird way, it kind of took me sacrificing unintentionally my career and my art in some way in order to find happiness yeah. in my personal life. So that was just like yeah. this very weird dance and balance that I had to figure out. But ultimately, that relationship and space that I found by not being able to hit the ground running and get this record out as soon as it was done resulted in me yeah. building this world. And I was yeah. also really yeah. fortunate to like have the space and be able to comfortably just sink into my visual art for a year. So it truly helped carve my path in such a deeper and more profound way by mm-hmm. having all of these setbacks and by me really, you know, I think being gifted the time and space to become my full form yeah. in terms of who I am as a musical artist, because I could not see myself moving forward not basically recreating what I've done with the prize with everything, like each album, yeah, every song right. that I write means so much to me. So why wouldn't I take all of my records moving forward and build the world
right.
and give them mm-hmm. this completely different life, you know, outside of just yeah. the auditory thing. So everything annoyingly happens for a reason. And this was an extremely yeah. drawn out version of it, because I wrote this record when I was 21 and yeah. it didn't come out until the very end of my 26th year. So it was quite a gap and quite a roller coaster ride, but I truly, truly feel so grateful and happy with where I am yeah. today. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. And I'm proud of myself. So it's great.
You should be. I mean, like, you definitely should be. Like, that is so impressive, because there's so many people whose setbacks like that would just, you know, completely derail them. And there would be nothing. It would kind of be that thing of like, oh, like the lost album or something like that, where it's just like giving up on it. And I think that's just so incredible. But you mentioned how it's like the album came out like 5 years after you wrote it. Like, what has it been like for you, like, performing these songs now with like this new take on life, where you're kind of like revisiting them as essentially a different person? Like, what has that experience been like for you?
It feels really perfect. And it feels yeah. like, I mean, I had no idea the depth of these songs or what they truly meant to me 5 years ago. It really was just in the last year that I, having kind of applied some of the things that I was just kind of figuring out when I was writing these songs, mm-hmm. you know, the last 5 years was really the evolvement from there on. And I never, when I was young, I never really clicked with a lot of people my own age. I mm-hmm. bullied really heavily, and I was like skipping grades, and it was just kind of a chaotic social
yeah.
life, you know. And I feel really happy with getting older, and the idea that now when I'm sharing this record, and I think probably my music moving forward, I'm old enough to have gotten myself through some really challenging things
yeah.
With some mm-hmm. of these life lessons. So I feel far more comfortable in that role of, I don't want to like say role model because I'm saying, but you know, like as far as
being, yeah, yeah.
being, you know, there is a responsibility in being a, you know, quote unquote, like public person.
Yeah.
And sharing your art with the world, you know, the relationship with art has gotten so much deeper for me as I've gotten older, where I really realize mm-hmm. how important the music that I listened to when I was younger was for shaping who I am, and how having those yeah. badass women that I looked up to in
yeah.
Stevie Nicks and Joan Jett and Susan Tedeschi and all of those women, I only really now at like 25, 26, 27 can uncheesily be like, wow, it's really important to have people to look up to.
Yeah.
So I think sharing these songs now feels a lot better than me sharing them when I was still kind of going through it.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting path, I think, becoming an older woman who's kind of sharing all of my, what I'm learning all of the time and have since I was little. And I really like getting older, though, and being able to share things in the hope that other people can maybe learn from them and maybe skip some of the harder stuff. Perhaps like hating yourself. Oh my gosh. I spent so many years hating myself and it is so not worth it. It is so not worth it. It takes so much energy and the idea of self-love seems so, so silly and stupid and like cheesy and weird for so many years. And now I just want to like scream it from the rooftops and I want to like take every young girl that I see and be like, girl, self-love.
I know. I agree. Big support. Okay. Well, in thinking of like speaking to, you know, a younger audience or like sharing your journey, I know that like you mentioned, like since you've been doing this for so long that when you started out and you're, you know, playing a very classic rock type sound that largely appeals to people who generally are older, who generally maybe were alive during those times. Do you feel like things have shifted now where you've been able to connect with a younger like fan base as well?
Definitely. 100%. And I truly do owe a big thank you to Greta Van Fleet for having me open up so many shows and helped introduce me to their audience, because what they've done for rock and roll and for getting young people interested in it and realizing that it doesn't have to be just your dad's rock and roll.
Right.
There's badass new rock and roll out there. That's been really huge. And I certainly had for many years that older demographic, which I love all of my fans, but I truly felt like my guitar playing was just the thing back then. And I felt like my guitar playing was the only thing that people would kind of comment on or note. And I was actually really, I wouldn't say sad, but when my last record came out, the song Strawberry Moon, I was so proud of it. I had thought about naming the record Strawberry Moon, but didn't. And I was so proud of that song, but the producer that I had on that record didn't necessarily hear what I heard in that song. Mm-hmm. He's also a you know, slightly, you know, not older guy, but, you know, he's a dude. And that was, I think, Strawberry Moon was the beginning of my like more feminine perspective in songwriting, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And so when the record came out, that song just kind of disappeared into the ether a little bit. Mm-hmm. And in the last few years, a lot of the young gals in my fan base now kind of gave that song a resurgence and really heard the message that I was sharing in that song. Because I wrote it after my very first heartbreak, which I definitely think is the worst breakup, is like the first one. You're figuring it out and, you know, you have to figure out what you want to change about yourself, but also what you did right. And like that dynamic of self-reflection, but an hopefully accurate depiction and not giving too much of your power away and like just all these complicated nuances. And so I think that the gals just kind of picked up on that idea of you have to choose yourself after heartache and take the things that you were passionate about or whatever dreams you had before this person came into your life and pour yourself into that on the other side. And so that was the beginning of, I think, the fan base becoming far more connected to the words and to the feeling and to the actual songwriting aspect of my career. And it's really, really, really cool to be playing on stage and have a bunch of beautiful young women smiling up at me. I feel super safe on stage in a way, like I can smile out, and I've always been a smiley performer, but there's something just like so lighthearted and heartwarming and just cozy feeling about having a bunch of women at the front of my stage now. And it's really the first time that I'm experiencing it is on this latest tour that I've been playing.
And that's incredible.
It's so cool.
Yeah. I know. I'm really happy for you. Cause I mean, so it's really, I feel like what you're saying is really interesting because on our podcast, like we've done a lot of talking about essentially the reason we started our podcast is because fangirls historically were not taken seriously and they've always been demeaned throughout history. But like,
yeah,
like you're saying, being a woman like in rock and roll, you're also largely like not taken seriously and have to prove yourself. And I think it was interesting what you just mentioned about like older male fans commenting specifically about like your guitar technique. Because like when we look at fandom and we look at how women participate in fandom and how men participate in fandom,
yeah,
men are very technical about it. They're very like name every song, which is also how we got the name of our podcast. They're like, you're only a fan or you're only good at something if you're technically good at it. And so I can understand why that demographic wasn't going to like take you serious as like, quote unquote, like maybe an artist beyond that, or even want to hear out the message that you have to say. And so I think it's beautiful that you've been able to connect with and find your people who care about what you have to say, who are relating to what you have to say, who are living that with you.
You put it perfectly. Yeah. It's a very profound moment for me because this record really was a deep exploration on what I needed to hear when I was 21 years old, you know, like I was able to kind of procure this roadmap for myself of, you know, kind of self-forgiveness and, you know, just kind of embracing your power, my power in this super unique way. And so, I mean, I love to go out. I've done it my entire life because I used to just play out at, you know, these random places all the time where there's no green room. The first, like, 13 years of my career, there was no green room. Like, you're just all hanging out. And I just really love going out after the show and connecting with everybody and just like saying hi and thank you for coming to my show. And it's really wild how many times I have cried talking to, you know, young women, older women, you know, some dudes too, some awesome dudes get it. But I think I'm pretty sure it's only women that have made me cry. Happy to. But there was a lovely like mother-daughter duo at a show. And after the daughter and I had our moment, the mom kind of took me to the side and shared with me that she's a therapist and has been using lyrics from my record and using my music in therapy sessions.
I
and
have chills right now.
That literally crazy.
I was so leaky. I was just crying. That was like a very life-changing thing to be told after like struggling so long to just get this record heard, but ultimately going through a lot of struggles in order to become the person that wrote this record and then to be like, wow, told that
I literally feel like I'm gonna cry right now. This is so beautiful. I'm just like so happy for you.
I'm like
kind of
teary right now too.
I'm literally tearing up.
No, it's like it's so empowering and like incredible to hear, because I feel like when we were doing research on you to talk to you today, like I just kept coming back to this thing where it's like, yeah, there have been so many women who have made rock music and done this stuff, but I feel like recently we're not seeing anyone that like is doing it in the same way you are, where it feels like you said very feminine. And I feel like that is something that is missing in just like a lot of music, where it's like the story that's being told is like something that you would be like, oh, like listen to this in therapy. Like it's kind of just like a very specific message that I think is very necessary. But also on top of that, it's like the connection that is happening sounds so beautiful. And also like you saying like you played music your whole life and you were surrounded by like all these men and like them telling you what you can and can't do, and like the fans not really understanding the story you're trying to tell because they're so focused on the guitar and all that kind of stuff. Like, and you even saying that like going to school and like speed running it, like you were bullied and like these sort of situations, like do you feel like you're kind of finally getting the opportunity to like connect with the people that you should have been able to connect with when you were younger?
It's so funny you say that. That is such a perfect question, because yes, I said it a couple of times when I'm hanging out with, and it's so cool, like groups of young girls are coming and I'm getting to hang out with these amazing young women. I've told a few of them, like, this fills such a void, you know, that I have in my life of, you know, not feeling supported by any of my peers around me, and just a lot of like weird jealousy and a lot of just really weird emotions, you know, coming at me, positive and negative, and like the switch up between like, you know, not having people my own age, but then being like glorified by all these like older people who love what I do is like a double life. And I tell some of the folks, I'm like, this is like, feels like I'm like hanging out with friends. And I really enjoy hearing everybody's stories. Like, I think that's one of the coolest things about coming together with humans for a night that, you know, otherwise we wouldn't know each other, and just like feeling this level of like openness. And, you know, I have a really large capacity, I think, for like hard things, and for, you know, my family, I have my own level of like trauma and stuff, but a lot of the people closest to me in life have stuff that have life stories that would kind of put mine to shame. Not that it's a competition, you know? But I'm realizing that that's actually one of the traits in myself that feels really good to share and be able to like provide for people. That I love that this record has made so many young girls cry in the best way. And I love hearing how they've connected with it, and it makes me feel less singular and alone in my experiences. And it truly brings things to light that like we are all very much so going through similar struggles. And the female story and the female perspective is, you know, I think we're getting our time to really share openly and to be heard with open ears from, I think, everybody. It definitely feels like there is a shift in the world, and I'm very, very happy to be able to like
be part of it.
Part of it and like
connect.
Be woman, be feminine, be proud of it. Cause I was so, I like literally didn't even like saying the word beautiful. The idea of the idea of someone calling me beautiful just made me want to like, bleh, you know? And I think I feel that way.
It's one of those things where it's like you had to figure out who you truly are and connect with who you truly are at the root source of like your being. And because you've kind of tapped into that and you're making art that surrounds that, it's like people are, it's like magnetizing, you know, people can see that, people can feel it, and they're just like drawn to you and like having these conversations and coming out to the shows. And I think it's like that coupled with what you're saying of like, everyone wants more of it. And there's maybe not enough people who are making art from a truly like tapped in, truly like wanting to understand who you are place and showing up as that in the world. Because I feel like you're saying, being in the world of rock and roll and touring, there's so many times you have to have your guard up just to like operate there. But I feel like it's like, this is proof that it's like, no, when you're tapped in and when you like trust yourself and you believe in what you're doing, it's clearly like we need more of it, you know?
Yeah, it's a much nicer place to be in, walking into a room and feeling really secure, whether I'm on the stage or off. Because that's the thing I realize is a lot of times people, you know, like my persona on and off stage kind of felt a little more, you know, a little bit different to me. Of course, it was always me, but I feel completely myself on stage, and I also feel completely myself off stage for the first time in life. And that's a really fun place to be. But yeah, it's a really good time, I think, for women to be banding together. And I think that the female positivity and the idea of everybody supporting each other and lifting each other up and just, you know, being excited that there's another girl in the venue. Like, it's time for that, you know, sisterhood to kind of shine through. And I think it's happening.
It's definitely happening. And I think, like we've said, like the whole point of like our podcast and this radio show and all that is to like help empower fangirls, help them understand that like their favorite musicians are as similar to them as, like, regardless of what they think, like they're so much more similar and they have so much more in common than they realize. And like, it's so easy to like understand that and like be ethical about your fangirlness, which is like so important and like necessary.
Yeah, that's
and, like,
necessary the way to relate.
And it helps, I think it helps people relate more and like bring everybody to like this very beautiful, like level playing field that I think we all want to be on. And so like on that note, we do like to ask everybody this, because like I said, Name Three Songs is about empowering fangirls. We think it's so important to just celebrate the things you love unapologetically. So Hannah, what are you a fangirl of?
Oh, You know, it's funny because I consider myself the worst fan ever. I literally don't know like album names, song names, all that stuff. And I've also never like, been
that's me too.
And I've also like not really ever been the fan who's like, I've never like made sure that I've heard every single song in a discography. I've never like watched every film from a direct, you know, I just like I don't have the attention span, I think, to follow down a rabbit hole like that. But yeah. I'd say, to be honest, Tom Petty is probably the ultimate artist for me. And if I'm gonna fangirl, it would be for Tom.
Is there anything that is not music related that you're just like obsessed with right now?
Oh, jewelry. I just love jewelry. So I love supporting smaller artists' jewelry, and I love finding stuff at, you know, little fairs and things like that. Yeah. But I also have just now gotten back into making jewelry myself because I did that when I was a little girl.
Cool.
I would sell jewelry at my brother's band's shows when I was like six, and I would like raise money for whatever charity and sell my like kind of not awesome but super cool bracelets.
Yeah.
And it was just something so cathartic that I did. And so yeah, I think jewelry and just jewelry. Yeah.
I love that. Amazing. Well, that is a beautiful note to end this beautiful conversation on. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
That was such a beautiful conversation.
I literally cried. I didn't know. It's just funny. We've had a few conversations where like, I didn't know I was going to therapy in this conversation, but it truly, truly, she has such a beautiful story to tell.
I know. And like the way that she speaks about her life and her music, I mean, I feel like it's obvious through listening to her music that she would be able to speak about everything so eloquently, but still sometimes that doesn't translate in that way. And it was just so interesting listening to her story and her sharing, because I feel like so much of what she brought up are topics that we have so passionately discussed on the podcast in one way or another. She's been through so much in her life, and she picked such a hard genre of music to be a part of as a female artist. And she's still been able to like rise above and connect to so many people through her music. It's just taking her longer, and but also it's like, it's taken her longer because she's been making music and touring since she was 8 years old. And like her career has just spanned her whole entire life. Like she's still so young and technically so early on in her career when you think about like a quote unquote normal artist career. But to her, it's like it took so long for her to get to this place where she feels like she's performing for the people that she's always wanted to perform for.
Right.
And that's just so crazy to me.
I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's so clear that some people were truly made to make art and make music. Yeah. And it's so special that she's someone who's sharing her story with us. So overall, just a wonderful, wonderful person and interview. And I hope you guys enjoyed. So thanks for getting candid with us and Hannah Wickland. This has been Sarah and Jenna from Name Three Songs.
And to get your pop culture fix, you can listen to new episodes of Name Three Songs podcast every Wednesday.
Today, we're signing off with a song from next week's guest, which is Lime Cordial from Australia.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.